Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 71, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. My one request has been, and still this prayer I raise, that I may dwell within God's house through all my days, and what follows. Psalter 71, the stanzas 3 through 5. Thank you. read the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Revelation 1, the verses 1 through 11. But first, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Revelation 1, the first 11 verses. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto a servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, as saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer the family of Mr. Barry Elliman, who with a sudden death at the age of 59 years. Mr. and Mrs. Shane and Melanie DeCock, who were blessed with the birth of a baby girl. Mr. and Mrs. Jerry Clark, who were blessed with the birth of a baby girl. And Mrs. Denise Fajadra, who was scheduled for surgery this coming Friday. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then thou hast granted unto us and our children another Lord's day. Then thou yet granteth that the sun may arise in all its brilliance, and that in the past night that the moon may reflect that brilliance. It is because there is still a church that must be gathered. Ah, Lord, may it please thee in this morning hour to grant a little impression that is already a wonder, because by nature then we are so impressionless, and then we take so much for granted. May it even please thee to grant a deep and a great impression of thy goodness, and of thy faithfulness over us and our children. A word has pleased thee in the week gone by, that thou hast graciously watched over us in the home, on the way, at work, wherever we were called to be. Then thou would yet know desire in our death, and that for a people that have sinned everything away, may we also have an impression thereof, when we may have come up to thy house, a part of the congregation, the greater part still called upon to remain in their dwellings. And when we have sung together out of thy holy word of the longing of the psalmist, then for a part of the congregation they may come up to thy house. And may there have also been amongst them that have come up, that it was with that desire, with that longing, and with that prayer of the psalmist. And may there also be such in their dwellings. Then thou hast yet made a difference where there is no difference. We may still be in the precious day of grace, for a father of a sister congregation, a relative of some of our people, then so suddenly and unexpectedly, then thou hast ushered him into eternity, O Lord. May it please thee to remember that mourning family that has been plunged into such deep grief and are waiting for his body to return. But it shall be a body without a soul. Well, thou in a special way uphold the widow, the children, the grandchildren, the siblings, the whole family circle, and their deep grief. May they receive a place at thy throne of grace. Well, thou remember and uphold in this week. And, O Lord, then thou wert speaking in a special way. Thou wast spoken in the midst of that family different times, in such special ways. Thou wast also ushered the young into eternity, and a one in his middle age. And what maketh us and our children to differ? Because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ah, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Then thou grantest this special time, this time of grace, that we may be given to seek and to find thee, and to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. But, O Lord, thou knowest how deeply we have fallen. We live by nature as if we can never die and shall never die, as if this is our eternity. But we are all lying under the sentence of death. To that end we humbly beg of thee, for the precious, for the loving, and the irresistible work of thy Holy Spirit in this morning hour and in this day. May it be for true conversions, that there may be boys and girls, young people, the middle age, and the elderly ones that may be pricked in their heart, that they may be stopped, that they may be turned, that it may all become different, that they may be added to those sires that are given to sigh for thy mercy and for thy grace. Thou hast declared in thy word that they shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure. Throughout all generations, Lord, spare us and our children, that we build not upon sandy foundations. Matters need to be experienced in our heart, in our lives, on this side of the grave, and on this side of eternity. Wilt thou remember thy children? Grant those further leadings. We have heard the Apostle John that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. May it please thee to grant it unto us and our children, those holy exercises, matters bound upon the heart, hope revived, and the faith strengthened, and to be given to look upon him, of whom Peter has said in thy word unto you whom believe, that he is precious. Wilt thou grant a great ingathering in this day amongst us and our children, among the length and the breadth of the earth? And Lord, may the time soon arrive that the whole congregation may be enabled to come up to thy house. Wilt thou remember the parents with their children at home? Wilt thou take away what could be a hindrance and what is necessary in the home? That is also necessary in thy house. Give a little rest. Give ears to hear and hearts to perceive. Then in this past week, then it has pleased thee in thy mercy to bless two family circles by renewal with the birth of a little child. Wilt thou grant unto those parents what they cannot give unto themselves? There can be gladness, but the true thankfulness that must come from above, may they be given to sprinkle their little ones with their tears. Because of thy goodness, where thou wast spared life and thou wast given life, but with a solemn impression have brought forth a child that had a beginning and that shall never cease to exist for a never-ending eternity with a soul that needs to be saved. Wilt thou further strengthen the mothers? We commend unto thee the grandparents, even the great-grandparents, with their increased blessings and their increased responsibility. We remember the barren ones amongst us. Oh, do uphold them. And if it may be according to thy will, wilt thou grant them the fruit of the womb. Wilt thou graciously watch over the mothers with the unborn. Lord, remember the sick. Remember the afflicted, the young mother who was scheduled for surgery. Oh, do remember and uphold her with her husband and little child. May thou go with her, and wilt thou grant healing? Thou knowest the great concerns. Then on this very day, then an old father may remember and commemorate yet with his wife that thou wast spared him for another year, and thou also knowest the concerns in his life with the difficulties of the mind and of his memory. O Lord, grant an impression of thy goodness. And under solemn circumstances with a wife that is seriously sick, that is becoming frailer and frailer, then we commend them both unto thee, O above all. Wilt thou be mindful of their never dying souls? O Lord, remember all the sick and all the afflicted. Remember all our elderly ones, those that are becoming frailer and frailer. Remember in the care home with those that care for them, those that are bound to their home. Oh, do remember and uphold them in their lonely station. We remember all the mourning ones, the widowers, the widows, the orphans, those that have brought dear ones to the grave. Remember all the crosses. Remember all the burdens. Oh, grant a prayer for one another. May we be given to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And when thou still granteth health and strength, that we take it not all for granted, but that we may be given to pause and consider all thy goodness and thy great mercies and how we use our health and our strength, whether it is only for our daily bread, oh, may it not be for the sinful vanities of the world, but may it be given that we may use our health and strength, that we may be given to seek thee, oh, for each and every one of us. Then there is that one thing needful. There is only one heartbeat, one breath between us and eternity, an eternity of beginning, and there shall never be an end. There are two ways, there are two destinations, and there are two peoples. To that end, Lord, wilt thou yet do a great work amongst us and our children in this dark and evil time where thy judgments are hanging so low over the world. May it please thee to send help from the sanctuary to strengthen out of Zion. Wilt thou anoint us with fresh oil from above? Ah, Lord, have mercy upon us poor sinners, us and our children. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 432, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. God Jehovah reigns, his are all domains. Tremble at his word, people who have heard of the power of him who made cherubim and what follows. Psalter 432, the first three stanzas. And the extra collection today is for the school. in this morning hour with the help of the Lord, then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Revelation 1, the verses 9, 10, and 11. Where God's word and our text reads thus, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, who was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Our text words speak of the revelation of Jesus Christ to the Apostle John on the Lord's day, with four thoughts. In the first place, Christ's reign. In the second place, Christ's family. In the third place, Christ's faithfulness. And in the fourth place, Christ's mandate. The revelation of Jesus Christ to the Apostle John on the Lord's day. Christ's reign, Christ's family, Christ's faithfulness, and Christ's mandate. Beloved congregation, in our chapter, then we find the Apostle John at the end of his life, according to the church fathers, what they have written in the way of history, then it was in the year AD 95, and he was also approximately 95 years old. And then we find him on the island of Patmos, a small island about 10 miles north to south, 6 miles east to west, about 24 miles away from Asia Minor, in the midst of the Mediterranean Sea, and approximately 50 miles away from the congregation of Ephesus. Then history tells us that this disciple, he was the disciple whom the Lord loved, and the disciple whom loved the Lord, he is written in 1 John 4, verse 19, we love him because he has first loved us. Then John, as far as we know, he was the only apostle that has not underwent a martyr's death. Of the other ones, it is recorded of James, the brother of John, in Acts 12. Then he was killed by King Herod, by the sword. History tells us that Peter, he was crucified, and that he has asked to be crucified upside down. An impression not worthy to resemble his master. Of the other James, then they tell us that he was thrown off the temple and that he was clubbed to death. Of an Andrew, also crucified, they tell us of a Thomas, that he has traveled to that faraway India, and there he was murdered by savages. Of a Philip, that he was tied to a post, and there he has died. And that Paul, that he was beheaded by Caesar Nero. Then maybe, undoubtedly, when our boys and girls, our youth, when we hear of the end of the apostles, that most of them have died a martyr's death, then maybe you are not so jealous, and that you think, must that now be the end of a child of God? But now let us think about a congregation, boys and girls, older ones. Does it now make so much difference whether we die by an accident, of course, the human way of speaking, or by cancer, or by old age? Many others, they die in the way of war. Many have died by the way of a virus. Then it is not the most important how we die. What is the most important, boys and girls? How we die. And then it should be the question, are we now prepared? It is not the most important, it is a blessing. When the Lord may spare us for many years, and we may be useful in the midst of our family circles, the church, in the school, and the community, that we may be made a blessing for one another. But the most important is whether we have that one thing needful. Oh, for a Paul, when he was beheaded, it was a short moment. And he was delivered from everything, taken into glory concerning his soul. And there he may rejoice before his God. Oh, for the wonderful work that the Lord has stopped him on the way to Damascus. And that a Saul has become a Paul. Has that now taken place in our life? History tells us that John has come to the congregation of Ephesus, congregation that has been instituted by Paul, and there he has labored with much fruit, undoubtedly, also in the other congregations. But in our text words, then we find him banished, all alone, on an island in the midst of the Mediterranean Sea, was under the persecution of Caesar Domitian, who was reigned from the year 81 to 96. It seemed that he loved the Romish traditions, and it did not set so well when he was seen, given to see, that the heathen temples, that there were not so many people, also jealous concerning his kingdom, much distrust, history even tells us that he has sought whether there were any descendants of David, but he has found that they were but a poor people, and especially more toward the end of his reign, then that persecution has increased, although many times it was localized. But when they were brought before the courts, they were punished. And then of John, he was banished to that island, that his voice may be silenced. It was not an easy time, congregation. But do we not live in a similar time? Do we not see the writing upon the wall that the enemies of the truth, that they are doing all in their power, that the church may be silenced, that the church may be muzzled? Think of the hate speech crime. That law goes one way. The world may say anything about the church, but the church may not say anything about the sins of the world. When we think of the conversion therapy bylaw that has been passed in Calgary, in Edmonton, at the moment it is on the table in the city of Lethbridge, has underwent the first reading. And to that end, may we be given to find what our hand finds to do, and that we may not remain silent when we still have the opportunity, that we show our support for two counselors that are opposed to this bylaw, and that in a loving way, in a clear way, that we express to the council in the first place that God's word tells us very clearly that he has created them male and female. In the second place, that cities that they actually have no authority and no right to pass such a bylaw. Also, it goes against the constitution of our country, the rights of speech, and the right of religion. It is true, it has not begun only in the last years. The movement has especially begun in the last century, when that distinction between male and female was being erased. Women dressing in men's clothing, contrary to God's word. Deuteronomy 5 verse 22, a word is written that it is an abomination, men dressing in shorts. I hope, young and old, that our families, that we are not part of that movement, but that we may be given to honor God's word, the creation, that he has created us as male and female, and that in that way, that we may be given to give a clear testimony to the world, that we are a separate people with a baptized forehead. Thus, congregation, when we think of everything that is transpiring in our society, the efforts being put forth to silence the church, that we may no longer speak, thus saith the Lord, then we live not in such a different time than John has lived. And now we find him that he was on the island of Patmos. And then undoubtedly, oh, that old apostle on the Lord's day, Perhaps he has looked across the sea, that he has thought cannot be different, and that he has prayed concerning the congregation of Ephesus, the boys and girls, whether they were doing their best in church to listen to the word of God, concerning the youth, whether they were separated, because also in that time congregation there were the sports theaters and the places of vanity. But we find in the writings that if people that belonged to the church, that they would not visit those places. Oh, then for John, then his thoughts have multiplied. When the members of the congregation, when they would be arrested, and when they were placed before a choice to deny their religion or to go to prison or to be banished, that they would be given to stand. And now the Lord, our first thought, the reign of Jesus Christ, it is clear that our text words, that they were spoken by the exalted Christ, because in verse 12 we read, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man." Thus the words of the exalted Christ concerning his church and the things that would come to pass, as we have heard out of verse 1, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Oh, for John, it has become a special and unforgettable time. It was not outside of the providence of the Lord. When we speak of the reign of Christ, never outside of the first and the third person in the divine Trinity. It was in the special providence of the Lord that John would be separated, that he may have a quiet time, and that he may be instructed. Oh, it is true, many times those ways are so mysterious. And Christ has said to his church in John 13, verse 7, "What I doest now thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter." But what a blessed time it has been. Do we not read of different ones in the scriptures, were when they were secluded, that the Lord has come over, that the Lord has instructed, that the Lord has led further. When we think of Moses, oh, Ezekiel also in captivity, and Daniel. When we think of many of our old fathers, oh, think of John Bunyan, how the Lord has used them richly, where he has written Pilgrim's Progress, young people. I hope we have all read that book, and the Holy War. When we think of Rutherford's letters, which he has written out of prison, then it was such a profitable time, our second thought. Then it speaks of Christ's family. And then we read in our text, "I, John," in the first verse, then he has spoken two times that he was the servant of the Most High, was a disciple, an apostle, to preach the word of the living God. But in our text, and three times more in this book, then he speaks of himself as John. Also the Lord's servants toward the end of their life. And John, he was banished on the island of Patmos, faced with death. did not know the time. He has become old. Then it shall be as we read of Aaron, when he was led up to a mountain, then that official high priestly clothing were removed. We cannot die with an office we must give an account thereof. And also those official labors, they need to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the child of God, also those that are called to labor in his church, then they cannot die with an office. They need that wedding garment which has been merited by Christ, which speaks of justification and sanctification. And then John, he was given to write to the churches, and then he has written so tenderly, "Who also am your brother." Boys and girls, you know what a brother is. That is one that dwells in the same family, special bonds, the same father, the same mother, and when it is well, then there is much love, it is true. There can be little squabbles. So it was also, if we think of Paul and Barnabas. But then when it is well, and what a blessing it is, when there is love in the family circle. And now John, he writes to the church, "I am your brother." Then he is not speaking of a natural relationship, but then he is speaking of a spiritual relationship. Thus then he is given to speak of those brothers, of course sisters included. Then he is given to speak of the family of God, who have God for their father, and the mother is the church, as we read in Galatians 4. Thus, what a tender word that John has used to write to the churches, to the members of the church, to brothers and to sisters. And now that spiritual family, then there are special bonds. There are also those real special bonds. When the Lord grants a special companion, if we think of Nehemiah and Ruth, Paul and Timothy, those are special bands that the Lord lays. Nevertheless, the family of God, they are distinguished. They have the same desires, the same longings. They find their life because those brothers and sisters, their life is described very clearly in the Word of God. Those brothers, they have many questions, many riddles, many perplexities. We have said they have the same father. Does not mean that they all know of that father when a baby is born. Then they have not so much knowledge. They must grow up, but that does not depend upon the knowledge of the baby, whether they of father and mother, but that is because of that birth. And so those spiritual brothers, that's family of Christ Jesus, they have experienced the spiritual birth, that is the regeneration by the work of the Holy Spirit. That was also a word of examination. Then we can all understand when this letter would be written in the churches, that how the whole congregation must have listened. And then when John had said, "I am a brother," then it was the calling of the whole congregation to examine their hearts very closely, because we have such a deceitful heart. or whether we truly, by the grace of God, have become such a brother and sister. And then further, not only a brother, to now further declare who those brothers and sisters were, that family of Jesus Christ, then John has written, and companion, I read in Psalm 119, verse 63, I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. Think of that good choice of a Ruth, thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God, who are our companions, congregation, who are our friends. Thomas Brooks, a Puritan of the 1600s, he has stated in a certain place, show me three things, and then I shall tell who you are. And then he has mentioned, who are your friends? Then he has mentioned how you dress. And in the third place, the books that you read. Oh, a companion. Those are the bands that the Lord lays with the people with the same desires. They have learned to speak that language of Canaan. Do you know what we mean, boys and girls? When we say the language of Canaan, that is the language of the experience of God's people. Thus a brother and companion in tribulation. We read in God's Word in Isaiah 48, verse 10, chosen in the furnace of affliction in the book of Revelation, 10 days of tribulation. Christ has said unto his disciples in John 15, verse 20, they have persecuted me, they shall also persecute you. We live in a world that is full of hatred against God, against his word, and against his people. And in the book of Revelation, it is stated as we come closer to the end of the world, then that persecution only becomes greater. We see it in our days. The laws that are being formulated goes against God, against his word, and against the living child. Thus that is a mark of those brothers and a mark of those companions. And now what a blessing it is when in the way of tribulation, can also be that tribulation separates the church, but that when tribulation comes, that we may be bound more and more to the word of God. A brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom, thus a family, a kingdom, and a kingdom as a king, a kingdom as subjects, and a kingdom as laws. Thus then in our text words, congregation, then we have many words whereby we can examine our hearts on which way we are traveling to that never-ending eternity. Oh, do we love those who love the Lord and who love his word and his testimonies and are given to walk according to the same. But now in that kingdom, then for a further examination, then John is given to write, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Paul has written in Romans 5, the verses 3, 4, and 5, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And now what does the church learn? That it is all given good, all from above. Oh, when the Lord comes with those trials, and many times it can seem that it is such a strange way, because Peter has written in 1 Peter 4 verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." Many times God's people, then they think that they have such a strange and such a singular way, and the Lord is very free. How He leads His people, they have the same teacher. All learn what sinners they are, that separation. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to make room for that precious Lord Jesus Christ. In the way of providence, then the Lord is so free. And then those brothers and companions, with their singular way, then they are given to rejoice when they may find their life in the Bible or meet another pilgrim, sometime very unexpectedly, that are given to tell of their way, not knowing the way of that child of God, and that they may hear that there are more that are passing through similar trials, but now the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. And what does the church learn? That of themselves, that they have not that patience. Oh, what a murmuring there can be. Nevertheless, then finally we read in verse 9, that he was on the island called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. When we read of the word of God, the second point that speaks especially of a testimony, how do we now give a testimony? How can it be seen? How can it be heard? That we are now a brother and a companion, and that tribulation by itself. Sometimes there are people that are greatly afflicted, and that sometimes they think, because of all my trials and afflictions, I must be a child of God. But of course, congregation, trials and afflictions by itself is not a mark of grace. Oh, what a blessing it is when trials and afflictions, when they are used, may we also be given to ask the Lord, that it may be the goodness of the Lord that leadeth to repentance. Is the Lord not good for us and our children? When we compare our families, not saying there are no trials, but when we compare our families, our church, to most of the people upon the face of the earth, then is the Lord not good? Oh, may it be the goodness of the Lord. As I read in Romans 2 verse 4, that it may lead to repentance. Our third thought, Christ's faithfulness, but let us first sing. Psalter 247, 1, 2, 3, and 6. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. And what follows? 247, 1, 2, 3, and 6. the revelation of Jesus Christ to the Apostle John on the Lord's Day. Christ's reign, Christ's family, and now thirdly, Christ's faithfulness. Then John was given to write, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. It was not with John that when he went to another place, that there were no more liberties concerning the Lord's Day. No. And John was privileged that he was given to write, that he was in the Spirit. What does that mean? A special prayer, a special humility, a special desires and longings, a special exercises, separated from all the things of the world. And then he heard the voice as of a trumpet. In the Old Testament, then we read of the trumpet different times. In Exodus 19, when the Lord has given his law, that trumpet was given to announce certain special days, the Day of Jubilee, also called upon to gather the people together that they may hear the word of God. And then that voice has said, I am Alpha and Omega. What do those words mean, boys and girls? Alpha and Omega. That is the first and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Thus in our day we could say the A and the Z. What a comfort for John on the island of Patmos. Then Christ has declared the Alpha and the Omega, and that concerning his essence, he is unchangeable, immutable. Malachi 3 verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye children of Jacob are not consumed. It is written of Christ in Proverbs 8 verse 23. That he was from everlasting, in Hebrews 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. Then in the second place, and just in short in this morning, because what a rich message for the Apostle John, the Alpha and the Omega, that in the second place, concerning the grace of God, he was the Alpha in eternity. In the Council of Peace, where the Trinity is counseled concerning the salvation of mankind, mankind that was lost through their deep fall, mankind that would never ask for the Lord, how shall I place them among children? Then the Father has chosen. Then Christ has given himself already in the Council of Peace to be that mediator that the church may be saved. I am the Alpha. Then he has come in the fullness of time. And when we read in our text, the Alpha and the Omega, that includes all the letters in between. What a rich measure for the true child of God, with their questions, with their riddles, with their perplexities, and with their sins. Oh, for John on the island of Patmos, also concerning his church, the Alpha and the Omega. He has assumed our human nature, but he has also declared in John 17, verse 4, I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. I have glorified thy name. Oh, then he was not only the Alpha, he was also the Omega. On the cross of Calvary, he has cried out, it is finished. He has merited salvation for his people. But he is also the Omega. He is also the mediator of application. The moment of the Lord's good pleasure. Then they are born in Zion. And then they become a child of the family of God. And then they learn what they need. They learn what they are missing. Then they become a sire, same as when a little baby is born. Then they are given to cry, and they desire the sincere milk of God's Word, the Alpha and the Omega. And then the Lord begins that good work. Has that ever been our question, congregation? Whether the Lord has ever begun? Or has that never become a question? Whether the Lord has ever been the Alpha in our life? That has never been our question and never exercised. Then our condition is very sad and very dangerous. It's only a step between us and death. I've heard it this past week, 59 years old. Suddenly, unexpectedly, ushered into eternity. Ah, when the Lord begins, then that people is given to examine themselves, search the Scriptures, and pray much. And now for a people, may have a hope that the Lord has been the Alpha. Then I read in Psalm 138, verse 8, that the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy endureth forever. Forsake not the work of thine own hands. Philippians 1 verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. Then Christ is also the ending. He shall finish that work. And he shall bring them home at last. Then further, the Alpha and the Omega, in the way of creation and in the way of providence. He has created this world. He shall uphold it until the last one is gathered in. And then the world shall be judged. And then the world shall be burnt up. Oh, the Alpha and the Omega. Just boys and girls, look in the sky. Have you seen the moon last night? The brilliant moon? The sun that may arise, whose work is that? That is the Lord, that he is the Alpha and that he is the Omega. The Lord is the Alpha and the Omega. Also concerning what he has promised in his holy word and how that can be tried, how it can be questioned by the true child of God, whether the Lord has really spoken as the Alpha, and more so when it goes through the impossible ways, when those ways are so mysterious. One of the examples we have in the Bible, Abram, he could tell how the Lord has been the Alpha, called out of the Ur of the Chaldeans. Abram could tell us how the Lord has given those seven promises in Genesis 12. And Abram could tell us how the Lord has confirmed that promise different times and different circumstances. But still empty arms, no Isaac. His name was Exalted Father, a beautiful name, but not the fulfillment of that name. How it can be tried. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Maybe a few souls exercised with those matters and that are afraid must be wrong. Because when the Lord does not be as that last letter, then what a questions there can be. But for John on the island Patmos, then Christ was given. Oh, my child, oh, my servant, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega. That also concerns His church. The ingathering of His church has been the Alpha in paradise with the conversion of Adam and Eve. What a multitudes have been gathered in the fold. He shall also be the Omega, that the last one, that all those that are written in the book of the Lamb, that they shall be gathered in. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That also concerns sanctification. And now our forethought, Christ mandate. And then we read, what thou seest, write in a book. Thus John still had work to do. What a comfort for John. What a questions there must have been. How we must have inquired of the Lord. Lord, in the church of Ephesus, had a flourishing congregation, many people of God. And now on the island of Patmos, what is now the purpose? Not so important that we understand it. But now it became clear for John that he was still immortal because the Lord still had work for him to do. And what a blessing for those churches that there was still a message that had to be brought. And then Christ is said right. Also implies the special providence of the Lord. Make it simple for the boys and girls. Maybe John, he could take one suitcase along. And then it is implied he had to write that there was paper, that there was pen, and that there was ink. And then he had to write specific messages to specific churches, the people that understands it. The Lord makes room in the heart for specific messages according to specific needs and longings. What a blessed Lord's Day it was for John. And now concerning those four points, how is it now with us? Concerning the reign, the providence of the Lord, do we have a close life? Are there times in our families that we may see the special providence? Times that the providence of the Lord that brings us in our need and that the prayers may be multiplied. And now concerning that family, then the main question is, the most important question is there two peoples upon the earth? And there are two ways. And there are two destinations. When the Lord works, we're not there to say it at the beginning, because then we learn that we are outside of that family. Oh, then we become so jealous of that people of God, even if they have to die the martyr death. but as long as we are saved, and that we may be reconciled to that God whom we have learned to live, to love. Ah, then God's people, they become our companions. And now that faithfulness, all for the church of God, then they shall be experienced, be given to experience. And it is true that they have to confess to the shame. What a doubt, what an unbelief. Oh, it can be for that people if they could only truly believe that they belong to that true family of God. Because many a times for that people it is not the question whether it's true for God's people. Oh, it is true. Can be times that it seems that they have nearly become an atheist. Nevertheless, not only too given to believe it for God's people, but oh, each time it becomes a wonder congregation. And for God's true people, the wonder only becomes greater. Not only the Alpha, but also the Omega, and still a purpose upon this earth. Young and old, how is it with us? Where is our journey to? Oh, it is true. For John, it was not so easy to be separated, to be in exile. But still, he has received the blessed portion. And all for the church of Christ. Let us close with the words out of Luke 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then thy servant John, exiled on the island Patmos, then he has received such a precious instruction that thou art the Alpha and the Omega, and that concerning thy church, well, thou remember thy children, and in the life of thy true people that wonder only becomes greater. But thou art also the Omega, that thou shalt continue and finish to gather thy church. May that be experienced amongst us and our dear children. Lord, watch over us in the furtherance of the Sabbath day. Bring a portion of the congregation to thy house, the rest may listen along. Well, thou remember and help the elder who is sufficient for these things. May he experience that thou art the Alpha and the Omega. Bring us also together in this evening hour. Grant traveling mercies. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 197, the stanzas 1 and 2. Now blessed be Jehovah God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous works and glory that excel. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. The first wedding announcement of Jacob Johann Klock and Chantal Rolaine Van Manen. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. There will be a midweek service this coming Wednesday evening, July 8, at 7:30 p.m., and the consistory meeting has been changed from Monday, July 13, to Tuesday, July 14, Psalter 197, 1 and 2. I received the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.